Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the benefits of enlightenment. I've released quite a few episodes about enlightenment, and I intend to release more in the future, a lot more, because this is a topic that needs to be talked about in a lot of depth. But some people still don't really understand, and they ask me questions like, well, hey, Leo, why are you talking about enlightenment so much? This stuff seems so abstract and philosophical. What practical use does this have for me in my life? And so what I want to do, because I do talk about this topic a lot, is I want to help bring some of you aboard onto the enlightenment bandwagon. And to do that, I need to discuss the benefits of enlightenment. What I want to do is I want to give you a whole list of benefits so that your ego can get on board. And then I'm also going to talk about how you can use this as a master strategy in your life. I'll talk about that at the end. But let's begin at the beginning, which is a little bit of a recap about what enlightenment really is so that we understand what we're talking about here. Enlightenment, simply speaking, is the realization of your existential nature, what you actually physically, or you might say metaphysically, what you actually are. Now, most people assume that they know who they actually metaphysically are, or physically are. You're the physical body, or you're the brain, or you're the mind, or your neuron activity happening in your head. That you live here inside the skull. That when I point at you, and my finger is pointing between your eyes somewhere, deep down in the skull there, that I'm pointing at you, and I'm talking to you, and that you is the center of your existence. And that you is the one that's sensing and perceiving everything, is conscious of everything, is aware of things. And that this you is also deciding things in your life, and it has certain things it likes and dislikes. And that I'm talking to it right now. Right now, I'm pointing at you. I'm speaking to you. You're conscious of my words. You understand me. It's your life we're talking about. So that thing right there, which you believe is actually you, enlightenment tells us is not you. So that's the mistake in your map of reality. Your map of reality tells you that that thing is you, when in fact, it's no more you than anything else in your experience. This is a very difficult belief. It's a belief that you have. It's a very difficult belief to unwire. And if you ever do successfully unwire it, then you experience enlightenment, which is a state of union with all of reality. Because really what you are is you're not a human body sitting there listening to me. What you are is you're a field, an empty field of pure awareness, which is not localized in space and is outside of time. This field is omnipresent, and it has no physical qualities or dimensions. It has no color or sound or feeling in it, which is why it's very difficult to become cognizant of it, because your mind is addicted to being cognizant only of physical phenomena. And it's completely identified with the body. So unwiring that is enlightenment. Now, the process of becoming enlightened is a pretty arduous and involved process. I've discussed it in other episodes. I have my spiritual enlightenment intro episode, and then other episodes that tell you how to get enlightened and other aspects of this journey. It's a pretty long journey. It can take years to accomplish this. So given all the work that goes into it, what are the benefits? What's in it for you? So let me talk about some of the benefits very practically. These are things you can expect, and the reason that most people get on the journey of enlightenment. Firstly, is a massive reduction in your levels of suffering. And I mean suffering here on the large scale, but also on the micro small scale. So we all are sensitive to suffering on a large scale, right? If something happens to your family or you lose your job, you're going to suffer. If something happens to your health, you're going to suffer. If you can't afford to pay your mortgage, you're going to suffer. So these are large scale catastrophes that create a lot of emotional distress in our lives. Well, the suffering from these things is completely unnecessary. You can eliminate all that suffering. That's the big scale suffering. Now, the small scale suffering is all the stuff that you're probably not even conscious of yet. This is stuff like, even right now, as you're sitting here listening to me, you're probably suffering. How so? Well, you're annoyed, you're frustrated, maybe you don't like a word I used, maybe you don't like some bad language that I spoke, maybe you don't like how I look, maybe you're bored, maybe you expected me to say something else, maybe you want me to talk faster, or you want me to talk slower, or whatever. But you have a low level amount of suffering going on. And this is happening not just listening to me, but after you're done listening to me, you're going to go do your thing. You're going to go have lunch. You're going to go take a shower. You're going to go to work. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to go play with your kids. And as you're doing all those things, you tell yourself that generally you are enjoying all those things. But actually, while you might be enjoying them on the surface, beneath the surface, you're actually suffering through these things. Have you started to notice this? How much suffering is there in your life? This micro-level suffering. What happens is that this micro-level suffering, it all adds up, and over the years, it toxifies your psyche. And this is what makes people become depressed and become neurotic and become suicidal even, and have, you know, serious relationship problems, become abusive, become angry, become bitter at the world. It's all this kind of stuff. So all this adds up. Well, with enlightenment, you can eliminate all this suffering that normally we would think is impossible to eliminate, that normally we would think is just something that comes with life. It's like, Leo, isn't all this suffering just a part of life? And the answer is no, it's not. It's only a part of the delusion of identifying with your body and your mind. So one benefit is eliminating all that stuff. Another benefit is freedom from things like worry, fear, and anxiety. Think about how much energy and time you spend in worry or in fear or anxiety about anything in life, whether it's your family, your relationships, or your business, or your health, or anything else. This can be eliminated. Also, another benefit is freedom from the fear of death. A lot of people tell me, it's funny to me, that they don't fear death. This is completely absurd. In fact, everything you're doing in your life is motivated by a fear of death in many cases. So in fact, you really do fear death. And when you start getting a little bit older and closer to death, man, that fear is going to become very prominent in your mind. And there's going to be a lot of regrets and doubts and worry and anxiety and depression that will come along with it. This can be eliminated. Because as it turns out, if you're not the body or the mind, and what you are is you're this omnipresent field of awareness, then death is a concept that really no longer makes any sense. It literally is just a story or a belief in your mind. As hard as it is to believe that, that's what it is. Death is just a belief. Death only makes sense when you're identified with your body. So this can be avoided. You can get freedom from this fear. And this is a pretty amazing thing. Also, you can get, as another benefit, a permanent end to overthinking. Think about how much time you spend overanalyzing and overthinking every situation. It really robs you of your ability to be present and just to enjoy whatever enjoyable thing is happening. Your overactive mind, your monkey mind, is driving you crazy. And it's robbing you of a lot of your energy. So you can put a permanent end to overthinking. You can still think when you need to, but when you don't need to, which is most of the time, what'll happen after enlightenment is that you'll just sit and be able to enjoy without thinking any thoughts at all, in complete mental silence. How cool is that? Another benefit you can get is immunity to heavy emotions. So think about some of the heaviest emotions you've experienced in your life, like deep anguish or deep anger or deep sense of depression, or a deep sense of loneliness. These kinds of really heavy emotions, which usually you're completely a slave to. and which make you do all sorts of stupid things in your life, you can become immune to these. Not in the sense that you'll never feel any sadness or anger or frustration after enlightenment. You can still feel those things, but they will no longer affect you in the same way that they do today. Another benefit is the end of addictive behaviors and compulsive behaviors. So think about all the stuff you're addicted to, both your hard addictions and your soft emotional addictions. Those can all be eliminated. All your compulsive behaviors that you don't know how to stop, all the self-sabotaging behaviors and so on, all the compulsive behaviors in relationships with other people, all of these can be eliminated with enlightenment. Another benefit is you can stop worrying, you can put an end to worrying about what people think of you. So think about how much time you spend obsessing over your self-image. Do you look good? Are you nice enough? Are you friendly enough? Are you polite enough? All of that. That can be eliminated once and for all. You can also put a permanent end to your striving in life. So all the striving that which you probably tell yourself is healthy and good, actually, which is neurotic, you can put an end to this. So I'm talking about stuff like worrying about, do I have enough love in my life? How do I get more love? Or I don't have enough money in my life. How do I get more money? Or I don't have enough power in my life. How do I get more power or more status? And so you spend a lot of your time obsessing about how to acquire these things or how to acquire a better self-image, how to look better, how to groom your appearance, or worrying about your gender role. Am I masculine enough? Am I alpha enough as a guy? Or am I feminine enough as a girl? All of these things that you worry about day and night that keep you awake at night, these you can put an end to permanently. You can also eliminate loneliness and neediness. Loneliness is interesting because loneliness is a complete hoax. Complete illusion of your mind, this idea of loneliness and feeling lonely. And a lot of people are so afraid of being lonely, of being left by themselves, of being ditched by their partner or their spouse. And then they have this neediness for approval, for love, for whatever it is that you feel like you need in your life, for compliments or for status or for respect from certain people around you or from your family. All of this can be completely eliminated. You can be completely free of any of these kinds of attachments. And in fact, to such a degree that these things will look like a joke to you. Loneliness will look like a joke. Neediness will look like a joke. Because these things only have power over the ego, which is the thing that you will eliminate with enlightenment. You can also eliminate neuroses. So neuroses are all those dysfunctional psychic patterns that you have, like depression, anxiety, negative thoughts, compulsive thoughts, all this kind of stuff. I have a whole episode that talks about a list of over 40 different neuroses that are very common for people. You can eliminate every single one of those. You can also eliminate much stress from your life. Think about how much time you spend stressing over your family situation, your relationship, over your business and your career, over money and over health, and also over your appearance. That stress over time builds up and it eats away at you. And then as you get into your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s, as you're getting older, that stress just wears your psyche down and even wears your body down to the point where you can actually shave decades off your life from overstress. That can be eliminated. Imagine doing all the things that you love to do or that you presently do, but you do them with stress. You can do them now with no stress at all after enlightenment. Another benefit is less need for sleep and much more physical energy. What most people don't recognize is how much energy our thought processes consume. And all these neurotic patterns that we have, most of them are going on inside our mind. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about our depression. We're thinking about our anxiety. We're thinking about our lack of money, or we're thinking about our poor self-image, or we're worrying about whether we're masculine or not masculine enough. And this robs us of energy, because the body is actually burning calories doing this kind of stuff. It's stressing you out. And this stress is not just mental, but then it also connects physically to your body. This is the mind-body link. Don't think that your mind is isolated from your body. It's a connected, complicated system. So when you remove the stress, a lot of free energy gets released, which you can use for productive work, or you can just use to enjoy your day, or you can use to have more hours in the day because you're not going to need to sleep as much. The reason you're sleeping 9-8 hours a day and you're still not waking up restful is because you spend most of your time in bed and outside of bed stressed and worried. And that can be eliminated to the point where an enlightened person might only need 5 hours of sleep, 6 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, because they just don't waste that much energy on all the different inefficient uses that the average person does. The other thing I really love about enlightenment is that it's really the foundation for real self-actualization work. You haven't even begun to tap into self-actualization until you started to question yourself existentially, who and what you are. Until you discover who and what you are, your ability to do personal development is very, very limited. Most of your efforts at personal development are very surface level and shallow. Most of the things you hear from me, you're not able to implement. You're not really able to really realize the power of it. And you're not even able to hear some of the more advanced techniques and concepts that I share with you, or that you read in books, or you hear from other people who are very advanced teachers. You can't even begin to comprehend that stuff until you've had a couple of enlightenment experiences. So for me, one of the things that really gets me excited is that enlightenment is not the end of self-actualization. It's really the beginning. Enlightenment is a whole path. It's a whole journey. And it's something that really you get on and you stay on for the rest of your life. It's not just a one-time event that happens and then everything is perfect and everything is fine. It's not that simple. And I'll actually shoot some episodes soon about the different stages of spiritual awakening, because there are stages on this journey, and I'll talk about that, and I'll talk about how it connects with self-actualization work. But the nutshell of it is here that this is just the beginning. This totally opens you up to transform your life in whatever ways you want, to change your personality in whatever ways you want, to do whatever you want to do with your career or your relationships. It frees you up in all these areas where before you were completely closed down because your identity fundamentally was limiting what you thought was possible in life. Your biggest limit is your identity. Who you think you are determines what you will and won't do in your life. And enlightenment fundamentally is the dissolving of that identity. Another benefit is that you're going to have a way to deal with chronic pain. Now, if you're young, you probably don't have much chronic pain, so this is a non-issue for you. But as you start to get older, into your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, chronic pain will start to become a real nuisance. And it can really sap a lot of the joy from your life. With enlightenment, you have a tool which you can use to deal with chronic pain and to eliminate a lot of the chronic pain in your life or the suffering that it causes. Also, it gives you a way to deal with disasters. This is something people don't really think about very much until they experience a few serious catastrophes in their life. But, you know, think of a spouse or a loved one dying, or something disastrous happening in your family, to your children maybe. Think about something disastrous happening to your health, like cancer. Think about something disastrous happening to your business, like maybe your business goes bankrupt, or the economy tanks and so does your job. Maybe you get fired. So all these kinds of like major life disasters, most of these disasters, usually what they do is they send us into a nosedive of depression and anxiety and stress, and it's a really bad thing. With enlightenment, you can learn how to coast through these disasters very effortlessly, and basically come out unaffected by them, and also deal with them in a much more resourceful way. So this is a huge thing, because if you think you're just going to coast through life from now until you're dead with no catastrophes or disasters, man, you're kidding yourself. You're going to have at least a couple, probably half a dozen, if not more, in the coming decades. And wouldn't it be great to have a tool that you can use to deal with those? Another benefit is that enlightenment puts you in touch with your body. A lot of us these days are very out of touch with our body because we live in our heads. We're very logical, left brain thinkers. That's how we're taught in school and in college. And then what this does is puts us out of touch with our body. We can't use our body naturally anymore. Our body is tense. It's stressed out. It's not being taken care of. It develops all sorts of ailments. And you're just not able to experience the kind of joy that you had in your body when you were a kid anymore. The life, the physical vitality from your body is lost. And enlightenment can put you back in touch with that. Another benefit is that you're going to have a longer life and better health. And this is something that I think they've done quite a lot of studies on nowadays with meditation studies, is that by studying advanced meditators, you can see that these people have a longer life expectancy and they have generally better health. And of course, the reason that is because their mental environment is so much more healthier than the average neurotic environment the average person has, that of course this, through the mind-body link, of course this will impact the longevity of your body. It definitely will. And if you look at very enlightened people, you look at Zen masters, some of these people live to be 100 years old. This is not an accident. It's because what you do with your mind does affect the energy that goes through your body and the health of your body. Another benefit of enlightenment is that it enables deep self-acceptance and deep self-love in levels that would not be possible unless you unwired your ego. So I recently released an episode called The Power of Self-Acceptance. It was a guided visualization that helped you get in touch with yourself to love and accept yourself. And a lot of people who did that exercise were really moved by it. They said that that was one of the best episodes that they've watched from me. And the reason that is because self-acceptance and self-love is such an important thing. And most people really, really struggle with it. They beat themselves up all the time. They feel guilty. They feel ashamed. They just can't accept themselves as they are, or whatever happened in their past. Well, with enlightenment, this becomes a non-issue. You can have unconditional, complete self-acceptance and self-love. If you did that exercise in that other episode, think of how powerful it would be if you lived your whole life from that state. That's possible. Another benefit of enlightenment is that it enables true love. True unconditional love. This is a very deep topic. This love topic is deep. I'll talk more about it in future episodes. But in a nutshell, what you think of as love right now, what you call love, is not love at all. You're incapable of true love so long as you believe that you're a separate individual entity living in your body. So if you can rid yourself of that illusion, what happens is that you can have actually unconditional love for all of reality. Not a needy love, not necessarily a romantic love, but a almost like a divine religious love. The kind of love that religious people talk about, mystics, sages talk about. The reason they talk about it is because that comes from enlightenment. That's what enlightenment gives you, is it gives you this ability to have this extraordinary love for everything, every being, every person, including yourself, including people you otherwise would hate, and the environment and any situation that's happening to you in the present moment. You love all of it. Because the reality is the only reason you don't love that stuff right now is because your ego is crimping the flow of that love. And once that restriction is released, then love just pours out of you in a non-needy, in a very powerful way. That's even hard to describe to you. Also, another benefit of enlightenment is that it enables powerful and authentic relationships. You think that what you have right now is you have relationships with people? No, you don't. You don't even have a clue what a real authentic relationship is. When you can authentically relate to another human being, and I don't just mean romantically and sexually, although that is included, of course, as well, but platonically as well, friendships, family relationships, children, the way you relate to your children, the way you relate to your customers or your boss, all of these different human relationships that we have that our lives are composed of. Man, if you want to take your relationships to a whole new level of depth and of beauty and of health, of healthy functioning, because most of the relationships you have are completely dysfunctional and neurotic. If you want to make all those relationships healthy, they have to be authentic relationships. And to learn how to authentically relate to another human being, you have to first realize who you are existentially. Then you have to realize what the other person is existentially. Then you can have an authentic relationship, a relationship that's not based on neediness or manipulation or self-agenda or petty personal concerns or ego or neuroses, right? Without any of those, you can have a real, direct, authentic relationship. And most people haven't even experienced one of these, and they never will in their whole life because their ego is preventing that from being possible. Another benefit is that you become immune to existential crises. Midlife crises are popular nowadays. People are having them in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s and their 50s. Chances are you'll probably have multiple midlife crises in your life. And you'll get to this point where you start to wonder, you know, what is the point of life and what does it all mean? And it's so pointless. And you'll get to this state, right? This is an existential crisis. And these can be quite depressing. So you can get immunity to all this because this existential crisis, the only reason it's happening is because the ego is sensing its own falsehood, its own fakeness. But once you dissolve the ego and you see through the fakeness of the ego, then no longer are you susceptible to these kinds of bouts of self-doubt. Another benefit is that you will get the deepest possible understanding of reality or existence or truth that a human being can get. So me personally, my whole life, I've really been driven by the search for truth. And I've tried to search in books and in college. And I've gone through lots and lots of different theories and philosophies and sciences and everything under the sun that you can read and you can study, all the knowledge that there is to find truth. But the reality is the truth is not accessible through knowledge or through logic. So if you really are a lover of truth, the way that I am, then you're going to be really excited by the potential of enlightenment, of revealing the truth to you in a way that's so much more powerful than reading some theorem in a book or doing some armchair philosophy about what the meaning of life is. You want to know what the meaning of life is? You want to discover what existence is? These things are accessible to you, but only through enlightenment, only through direct awareness of them, not through intellectualizing and not through rationalism. So that's a doorway that opens up for you. Another benefit is death without regrets. So one thing that I'm very conscious of, and you know, maybe most people don't think this far, but I do, is that I really want to die in my life with no regrets. And I can already see that I'm regretting decisions that I made and ways that I've wasted time in my life. As you get older, you're going to have more and more of these regrets come up, even long before you die. I'm only 30 and I'm already experiencing this. So you're going to experience it in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and 60s, all the way up to your deathbed. How do you die with no regrets? Enlightenment. When you're going to be on your deathbed, I guarantee you what's going to happen is this, is that you're going to wish that you spent more time being connected to reality itself. For a lot of people, the way this gets translated is just through being out in nature more. Just sitting and being, rather than running around like a squirrel on crack, doing stuff that you don't even know why you're doing it. You're doing it for some reason for somebody else because of some peer pressure or whatever. You're not really authentically living up to your own values. And if you were, then what you would realize is that you would just be more instead of doing more. And enlightenment exactly gets you that. Which is why with enlightenment, you can die with no regrets, because you can spend a lot of time being, so much time being, that you'll be satisfied with how much you've been being, versus what most people do is they spend their whole life doing, and then on their deathbed, they realize, oh my God, doing was a huge mistake. I should have been being more. Another huge benefit of enlightenment is that it gets you a much better, healthier attitude towards the world, society, and humanity. The average person's relationship to the world, to society, and humanity is very dysfunctional. And it's not healthy. And in fact, makes the world a worse place. And in fact, right now in the 21st century, we're facing kind of a crisis politically and socially, environmentally. A lot of damage is being done by unconscious, egotistical individuals who are creating unconscious, egotistical companies and government organizations, which are ruining the world. So you can turn that around by changing your own ego. Another benefit is you're going to be much more honest and ethical in your dealings with people. And of course, this helps to improve the world, which I think is a really important benefit of enlightenment, is that it greatly improves the world. You want a way to really change the world for the better? Get enlightened. That's the best gift you can give to the world, is your own personal enlightenment. If every person did just that, the world would be just fine. We would have a lot less problems. Most of the problems in the world stem from egos that have run amok and are unconscious and don't know what they're doing. And so they're ruining their own lives, and at the same time, they're ruining the lives of thousands or millions of people around them. And the way we stop that is not through new laws or a new president or a new Congress, but by you taking control of your own ego. In fact, this is important because the world, we're at this kind of point in human history where we really could face a species-wide annihilation. The way that technology is developing much faster than our egos are able to keep up with. And our emotional and psychological development is so much behind our technological development as a species that it might lead to a complete catastrophe in the future. And if we want to prevent that, then there is no better way, no more direct way than through enlightenment. Another benefit of enlightenment is that life can become satisfying for you again. Think of how life was for you when you were a child. It felt a lot more alive, didn't it? You were a lot more present. Everything was much more effortless. It was easy. It didn't have the kind of grind to it that it has nowadays. Everything wasn't so difficult. You didn't have to think about everything. It just flowed. Life was a flow. And you were like a leaf flowing in the river of life, and everything was great. Even when things weren't that good, they were still great. Even if your family wasn't rich, life was still great. And even if you had some health problem, life was still pretty good. How cool would it be to get back to that place permanently and to live your whole life from that place of being in the zone all the time? That's ultimately what you get with enlightenment, is the ability to be so present that you're always in the zone no matter what, and nothing can unroot that presence. This is what leads to unconditional happiness and unconditional peace of mind. And this is the only way that you can get it. You cannot get this through any material acquisition or any other form of personal development. It will not work. It will not work so long as there is a sense of separate ego inside of you. So those are some of the benefits. Quite a long list. Now you might say, well, Leo, these are awesome benefits. In fact, they seem too good to be true. What's the catch? There's no way that this is true because I don't know any people who have achieved any of this. So it sounds like a utopian fantasy. Here's the reality, is that there actually are people who have achieved all of this. And I'm not just talking about people in the past like Jesus or Buddha. I'm talking about people right now. I've met dozens of people who have realized all this. Enlightened people. People who are very, very enlightened. People who spend a lot of time enlightening themselves. So what's the catch? Well, there is a cost. And these people, they were wise enough to accept this cost. Now the question is, will you be wise enough to accept this cost? What's the cost? In a sense, you could say it's the greatest cost that there is. The cost is you and your entire way of life. So if you want all of these benefits of enlightenment, and most of these benefits you can only get through enlightenment and through no other means can you get them, what you have to do is you have to give up your identity, your ego, yourself. So this thing right now that I'm speaking to, that thinks that it's listening to me, that thinks that it's alive, this thing, this human being right there, you have to give that up. I'm not talking about giving up some part of you, some piece of you. I'm talking about giving up all of you. So not just the bad parts of you, not just the parts of you that are unethical and despicable and kind of prideful and arrogant, not just those parts. I'm talking about every part of you, even the parts you like about yourself. Especially the parts you like about yourself. Especially all your precious beliefs about life, all the things you think you hold as true, all your favorite lifestyle choices, all the things you love, your love for your family and your career and your business and your love for money and your love for success, all of this you have to give up. And you have to give up, most fundamentally, this metaphysical idea that you have that you are a physical human body, and that you live and are localized as a consciousness inside your skull. You have to give that up. That's the cost. It's a pretty big cost for most people. What enlightenment will reveal to you is the following. It will grant you all these benefits, but at the same time, it will destroy your identity. It will reveal that life is meaningless, that everything you think you know about how the world works is false, that there is no such thing as good or bad, that good and evil are fictions, that every judgment you have about people and situations and yourself is a fiction, it's a lie. That there is no value in anything. That there is no one who benefits from self-improvement work. And in fact, there isn't a self or an ego that's going to be improved by all this work you're doing on improving yourself. That this is a fiction. That this is like you chasing your tail. And enlightenment will reveal to you that you don't have control over life in any capacity whatsoever. Zero control. Because there is no you to have control over anything. It's an absolute surrender. A complete surrender to life. So those are the costs. In a sense, it's dangerous to be talking about the benefits of enlightenment because there really are no benefits, you see. When I talk about the benefits of enlightenment, people ask me like, well, Leo, you talk about enlightenment. Why should I care about enlightenment? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? That's to get the whole thing confused, see? To ask what's in it for me is the problem. And when I talk about enlightenment and its benefits, in a sense, I'm feeding your ego because I'm deceiving you into believing that, firstly, there are benefits that exist in the real world, which, of course, there are not, and that there is value in the real world, and, of course, there isn't. These things don't exist. These are fictions of your mind. And then even worse, secondly, is I'm deceiving you into thinking that there is a you who will be benefited by any of this stuff. There isn't. You will not be benefited by enlightenment. But you will be benefited by enlightenment. Can you understand that? Can you read between the lines of what's being pointed at here? The reason I talk about benefits is because on a practical level, it is useful to talk about these benefits because the fact is that you've got this ego and this ego is running your life. It's running amok in your life and we need some way to get leverage on this ego. And the only way to do that is to talk its language. And the ego only understands egoic language, and egoic language is all about me, 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 me. What can I get? What's in it for me? That's all the ego cares about and understands. So to trick the ego into killing itself, we need to tell it what's in it for it. Now, the ego is going to be kind of stupid. It's not really going to understand the full scope of what I'm talking about. It's going to think like, oh, Leo's just kind of kidding. Leo's just kind of kidding that I'm going to kill myself. I'm not really going to kill myself. Leo's just kidding. And so the ego will get on board and it'll like all these benefits. And then, you know, it'll spend a couple of years chasing after these benefits until it finally realizes that, oh shit, he wasn't kidding. But then it'll be too late, because the ego is already going to be past the point of no return. So that's kind of practically how it works. By the way, killing the ego, you're not actually killing the ego, because the ego doesn't exist. It's a fiction. So when we talk about killing the ego, this is a metaphor, this is not literally, just so you know. These benefits that I told you, you could think of them as pseudo-benefits. They're not full-fledged benefits, because full-fledged benefits implies there's an ego who will be benefited. So hold it more like a pseudo-benefit. Your life will be extraordinary post-enlightenment, but it won't be your life anymore, in a sense. But it won't be a problem anymore because there won't be an ego who will care about this issue of whether it's your life or it's not your life. You see? This goes real deep. This goes as deep as things go. Now, the paradox of all this is that even though there are these kind of bleak-seeming, almost negative, nihilistic-seeming elements to enlightenment, like life is meaningless, and there's no value, and there's no one to be benefited, and you might say, well, Leo, well then screw this, you know, I'll just go and do my ordinary thing. But see, nevertheless, enlightenment is still the greatest thing that there is. It's the greatest thing you can shoot for in life. Because your life only really begins after you give up yourself. Life begins after enlightenment. What you're living right now is not life. You're living in... a hollow dream. A facsimile of life. A poor facsimile of life. And you don't even comprehend yet what true life entails. You can't even comprehend the beauty of it, the majesty of it, the mystery of it, the joy and the power of it. You can't know these things until you've had a few enlightenment experiences. You can't even imagine it yet. So that's the paradox. I've met dozens of enlightened people in my life. Very, very enlightened people. Not a single one of them has told me that they regret becoming enlightened. What it's like is imagine that right now the life that you have, whether you think it's great or you think it's not so great, or you think it's terrible, imagine that this life you have right now, that actually what it is it's a hell. You're living in hell. And that by waking up from this, you can wake up into heaven. And that what enlightenment is like is it's like waking up from hell. You will never, ever want to go back after you've woken up. The problem is that the ego is so used to living in hell and it's made hell its home that it thinks that there's nothing beyond it. And so it never wants to wander outside of hell to look for anything better. And that's the tragedy of this whole thing. Is that there's something so much better right outside the gates of hell. But the gates of hell are guarded by the guardian, which is your ego. And all this me, 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 what's in it for me talk. That is the guardian, you see? The real problem here is that you're too stupid to understand any of this. And I mean this very seriously. You are too stupid to understand this. Because either is wisdom in you or there's not. And if there's wisdom in you, then you see what I'm talking about. Something in you, the wisdom function in you, intuits that what I'm saying is right. And it will go and take action towards it. But see, you're not doing that. What you're doing is you're listening to me, and maybe you're liking it, maybe you're not liking it. Doesn't matter. But the fact is you're stupid because you're not taking any action on this. Even if you like what I'm saying and you're on board and you're nodding your head and you're saying, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to go and meditate and I'm going to go read some books and all this. No, see, this is still stupidity. Because the fact is that you're not actually sitting down to discover your existential nature. You're jerking yourself around. And ultimately what's going to happen is that you're going to forget about all this and you're going to fall back into your old routines and nothing's going to happen. And the reason I know about this is because this is a struggle that I've fought now for years, and I'm still in the midst of this struggle. It's a really serious struggle. And it's simply fueled by stupidity is what it is. It's very poor life strategy. I talked about strategic thinking skills recently in one of my episodes. It's a very foundational episode. And that's very important here. Because if you're wise, if you're not stupid, then what you are realizing right here, right now, is that I just gave you the ultimate strategic intent. Enlightenment is the ultimate strategic intent. This is what your whole life strategy should be about. Your entire life should be this. Not just a hobby, not just a little activity, not just a 20 minutes of meditation. Your entire life should be this, if you're a smart strategist. Are you, though? Most people aren't. Most people are stupid strategists. A stupid strategist thinks that he can just get more by doing more. It's like more success will get me somewhere. That works fine until you really start to study the psyche and you start to realize that all your success counts for nothing in the quality of your life department. The quality of your life does not improve with success. That's the lie of materialism, is to believe that it will. But this is so counterintuitive and so threatening, because I'm asking you to give up your entire way of life and your entire way of doing, and to substitute it with a new way of being, which is so foreign and alien to you, that the wisdom function is not able to get any traction in your mind. And so the stupidity function is all that's really getting traction. And so what'll happen is that these will all just be words, just empty words and beliefs and ideas and some, you know, you get a little bit of motivation for what I'm telling you here, but you're not really going to do this. Are you? Because you're not wise enough, see? You just don't have enough wisdom. If you had a little bit more wisdom, you could start to do it. But you just don't have enough wisdom. Like, the stupidity is so strong in you that it completely overshadows any ounce of wisdom that you have right now as you're listening to me. That's the reality of it. The reality is pretty bleak. And this is why the state of the world is as it is. And we're in sort of a bleak place in life. Society is headed God knows where. Technology is headed God knows where. The human psyche is headed God knows where. And you're on that journey to hell along with everybody else. Because that's the default state of what will happen. If you want something else, then you need to kick in to high gear your wisdom function and overpower your stupidity function and to become really, really strategic about what you want out of your life. All right, that's it. I'm Leo. I'm signing off. Please click the like button for me. Share this episode with a friend. Post your comments down below. And lastly, come check out my website right here, actualize.org. I release new videos every single week on self-actualization topics. Self-actualization is how do you take your life to the highest potential that you can take it. The thing that really fuels me is discovering what creates human happiness and how I can create that in my own life. How do I create the ultimate life that's the most satisfying life possible? What do I need to learn as far as concepts, techniques, strategies, and tactics and advice in order to do that for myself? And then my passion is to share that with you, to help you to tap into that as well. So if you are on board with this vision, then you want to learn more. Stay up to date every week. Sign up to my newsletter. It's free. You get new updates every week that will keep you on track, because it's so easy to fall off track. Even if you think you're wise right now and you think right now that, you know, yes, you're motivated, you're going to take some action. Well, what's going to happen a month from now, 2 months from now, 12 months from now. You're going to forget about all this stuff. I really am driven to help you to get practical, tangible results. I'm not up here just philosophizing and just preaching to you. I'm talking about practical results. And every new episode I release will show you in more and more detail how to make these results happen in your life. But what I need from you is I need from you a commitment to actually care about generating these results for yourself. Because if you don't have that commitment, then nothing else can work. And no technique can help you. A good way to take your first baby step on that commitment is just to go sign up to the newsletter, because every week you'll be staying on track. And then also check out my Life Purpose course, check out my book list, check out the free forum. I recently opened a forum on actualize.org. You can come and meet people there who are interested in self-actualization, which is a pretty rare thing to find those kinds of people. And you can interact with them and share resources and share ideas and ask questions. All right, so go check all that stuff out, and I'll see you soon with more.